Okay, Rabbi Isao, let's learn a bit. Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Vav. Interesting one, Rabbi Isao. Anybody who knows anything about anatomy? Who knows about anatomy?
Which part?
Biology. Okay. Let's hear. Let's tell me what you think about the following. Siv Gimel, page 98, three lines from the bottom. So what we discussed so far was with regards to which kind of pandemic. We spoke about pandemic. Which kind of pandemic requires a fast? Very much in Yonah Yomer.
180.
Was that the cheshbon? Actually, I asked Benji Goldberg to make cheshbon.
Yeah, he came up with yesterday.
So it's three. So now, I'll say a bit more on this, and I have an interesting story to share with you at this point. What happens if there was a deadly pandemic amongst chazerim?
Swine flu.
Okay, pigs get.
Pigs
are swine. Fast. If there is a dangerous flu virus amongst the chazerim, then one fasts. Why? Because the digestive system resembles human digestive system. Anybody? Anatomy? There you go. Okay.
Pig got one stomach, cow's got three or four.
We're learning about the rennet at the moment in the majority.
So any reference to that? Why is it that if there is a pandemic amongst horses, who cares? If there's a deadly virus amongst dogs, you can forget about it. But if there is amongst pigs, then one has to take this seriously, one has to fast. Rabbi Isai, this is swine. Is that what it is? Swine flu? One has to fast. Why? Because the me'ehem, the digestive system, resembles the shaltim. For kolshken, even more so, imayodeva be'akum, if there is a, even more so, watch out for this kavachoma, if there is a pandemic amongst goyim, v'loy be'isod, not amongst Eden, shemisalimon still fast. This reminds me, and I'm going to switch this off. What we are learning in Shulchan Aruch over here, that even if, he is wrong even in terms of Shulchan Aruch, because Shulchan Aruch says, if there is anything that, surprisingly enough, does spread amongst goyim more than amongst Eden, if there would be such a thing, if there is a virus which spreads more amongst goyim than amongst Eden, which perhaps it could be such a thing because of various factors, nevertheless, you didn't have to fast. Because it's going to spread. Pardon? Is not spread amongst Eden. Right, okay. So, that's what it says. A further example of, so this was all about pandemics and viruses. There's other reasons why a killer may need to fast. Why so? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'chem is anin zivdal, v'chem is anin alam apodesh shabeif." There is collapses of houses. Rachmon litzlan. Pardon? Yeah. V'chem apodesh shabeif. There is houses collapsing in the city. Thank you for reminding me. Keitzad. Hare shirop sobeim apodes ksolim brim she'enam oimdim betzad anor. So if there is houses collapsing which are not old and which are not by the river and yet they are collapsing, bad sign. Why is that? What happened in Miami?
What happened?
Seriously? Really? Really? When it was not next to the river? Based on what did it collapse? Really? Seriously? Seriously? Wow.
A lot of these, they call them condominiums. A lot of them are badly built.
Right, okay, so that's what it is. So how is it? So, Miss Anim Asin Oleo, if these few of those houses collapse, Achmon Litzlan, then Miss Anin, one fast, Umasin, you blow the shofar. Similarly, another example, but he says a few of them, so one of them is, I suppose, not sufficient to me. Hurops and Apollos by here. But isn't that interesting?
That one, the dam collapsed in the Gebatzev, and also obviously got
Meron. How is it so? Misalim masinolei. But by the way, the Mishnah Berurah does say ksolim briim. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Yud Beis says, "Avalim im ruois eno bichlal zeh." Obviously, don't include in that if there is a building which is not well built. and you've got evidence for lack of constructional solid firm foundation, then that one doesn't fast. This is only if it's extraordinary history collapse. Pardon?
The building's got a known history of subsidence.
Yeah. Kind of thing, yeah. Earthquake, one fast on earthquake. So, strong winds, which we call hurricanes, which will collapse houses. And they kill people, they are deadly at times. One fast, and one blows the shelf on it. I remember in Etzel a earthquake. I won't forget that. I was this Moscow. You were there, I was in 2002, 2003, something like that. It was a solid earthquake. I remember it was an Oitzas Forum upstairs in the yeshiva. It was a really heavy, and apparently the earthquakes get much more, the further up you are, the more. It was a very, very scary experience. Sufficient to remember it some years later. And what I remember the most was that, it was very scary. All the foam went flying and everybody went flying. And it was one person out of this whole crowd in Oitzas foam which had enough sense of mind. We were all trying to, you know, race out to save our... And there was one person who was enough. I took his hat and he started making the bocha that you're going to make. Oh, it's a massive gracious, but nobody else said that. And what's also interesting is that from here I saw evidence that the Swiss model works much better. It just makes so much more sense. That whenever there's a public room, the door must be doors must be
public room
such as this one, the door must be
closed.
Opening out.
Oh, I see.
Always doors in every public building in Switzerland, the door must be facing out, unlike this one over here, because what happens is when there's that kind of everybody rushes, and then everybody goes towards the door, and nobody is able to exit because everybody's squashed by the door. So therefore, there's an old rule that you've got to have always any public premises have to be facing the door, facing out. It makes so much more sense. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because they're worried about nuclear bombs. Yeah. Okay. But that's supposed to make less sense than this. Yeah. It's just the money. It's just the money. That's right. Yeah. But you know, if you have got the money, you're scared of it. So the mice. But that rule, I must admit, makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's but earthquakes. I both say one if there's very numerous earthquakes. One fast. Illnesses as well. So if there is deadly illnesses, one fast as well. So if there's any illness which spreads amongst the population of that particular city, you could go in Asko, such as Asko. What is Asko? Asko, where do you know Asko from in the Gemara? That's right. They died from Asko, which is a deadly disease. Which closes up the lungs, the oxygen, the breathing organs. So it closes and the breathing.
Is it the same
plasma? It's deadly. It's deadly and it spreads. I think the Gemara said it spreads. It spreads across the whole body. I don't think asthma would categorize as that. Interesting. Another kind of epidemic. For you may see people die from that illness. Anyway, this seems to be a virus. Because asthma wouldn't qualify for that, because it's something which spreads. So this is also something which spreads. It's dangerous, choli, people fast. And you must see, you blow the shofar, v'chein, chichuch, which is boils. Lach, wet boils. If it spreads amongst a lot of people, you blow the shofar and you fast. Although, Rabbi say, watch out for this. It doesn't need to be deadly. We have over here an illness, boils, shchin periach, it's catchy, but it's not deadly. Yet, one fast. But if it's dry, kind of boils, then one cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one does not necessarily fast. With those illnesses, you do not need the condition of people dying in 3 days, one after the other. As we saw earlier, straight away, this needs no further escalation. You escalate it straight away. If there is a kind of illness that spreads widely amongst the community. A quick fast spread, even if it's not deadly, but it spreads massively amongst the population on fast straight away. Even though there is no death cases immediately. Rabbi said, interesting, Mishnebu in Sefkot Nudalet. In Sefkot Nudalet, he speaks about these boils, and then he brings a Shlach Kodosh. The Shlach Kodosh, by the way, I find it very interesting always that the Mishnebu quotes a Shlach. He does it in numerous places. Shlach is not really a Halacha Sefer. The Shlach is much more of a Musa, very old Musa, Hashkof, Musa of Kabbalah as well in it. It's very I can't say strange, but it's not whatever. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shlach over here. The Shlach kasav the kol echod yavriach bonav mino ir. Everybody should run away with his children from the city. Pa'es hazois di machla mista bekes. When is a catchy illness, chas v'sholem. When there's a virus which spreads amongst the children, it's dangerous for the children. One should pack one's bag and run. Run very fast. Interesting. I think the answer is two. Because I think that this, I suppose, assumes that one has water fast when one is 100% safe. Hello? What do you ask?
Why did we not fast for
The earlier? The answer to your question is what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Mechbeis. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Mechbeis taught us for a pandemic, one does not fast. The person doesn't drink and eat. Endangers himself. If a person is weakened and vulnerable, then he makes him more dangerous. Therefore, he says one doesn't fast for any. It's interesting how the medical knowledge of the Mishnah Berurah 100 years ago is totally in line with, I think that this hasn't changed. In fact, I was told that the basic rules and advice and guidance with regards to any pandemic has not changed for the last couple of 100 years. It's about distancing. It's about protecting oneself and being and washing one's and keep washing one's and avoid the spread and social distancing. So nothing has really changed dramatically. Okay, so Sif Vav, he teaches us as follows. Now, okay, we've spoken about illnesses, we've spoken about geographic disasters and crises. Now we're going to be talking about dangerous animals. Okay, so if there's dangerous animals loose, so what does that mean, Lemaisa? Sivov. If you've got a dangerous animal, a wild animal, which is loose, if you've seen a dangerous animal, just the sight of it, without actually, she hasn't done anything, but you've seen, there's a loose wolf. And apparently there's talk about bringing the wolf back into England. It's good for the air, because it's a natural habitat of the wolf. So some of the large forests is a natural habitat. They became extinct. Numerous because they talk about bringing them back in. That's what they say. So because that's the natural habitat. So imagine they reintroduced a wolf, and you suddenly see as you walk in Warwick Avenue on Franklin Gardens, you see a little wolf there hanging around. So if one sees a dangerous animal, but it's not. You see a dangerous animal, but it's not hasn't done anything yet. Yes, one will fast. Yes, one will blow the shofar. Even distance places, even if you don't live in Warwick Avenue, but you live in the far away Marlborough Avenue, you will still fast and blow the shofar. But if you just saw one random one, and it's not. So let's define this further. There's a few limitations. So if it's. What does mishulachas mean? If it's by day. In the city, that's odd. So we're trying to define now what's a bizarre kind of behemoth for an animal. So trying to define bizarre, odd, and therefore dangerous. If there's an explanation why the animal is here, so it's not particularly dangerous. But if there's no explanation for it, that's going to mean that he's dangerous here. So So if you see, for instance, a dangerous animal in a field, if it saw two men and it didn't run away, the animal didn't run away. That means danger. Normally, if you say humans, in a field, they would normally go back to their own areas, they didn't go away. That means they're dangerous. They're mishulachas. Lo yirot fachem, enu mishulachas. But if they're just looking around and they're quiet and there's no, if they don't look aggressive, that again is a good sign. Someone doesn't need to fast. Himoyso be'agam. What if it's near a lake, near that kind of their natural habitat where they will normally eat and drink? Him afilu rot fachem enu mishulachas. It's not dangerous. That's a lake. That's their normal habitat. That's where they drink. That's where they live. That's not dangerous. Elohim tov for shnei ve'ochlo echol mehem. But if they seem to be aggressive and they hunt humans, then obviously it means danger. But im ochlo shnei ba'agam enu mishulachas mipnei shezu mekoyma. But if it's mamash in their place, mipnei ravo in tov for lo mipnei shi mishulachas. Habayisai. The bottom line of this halacha is as follows: if there is a dangerous animal and there's no signs of aggressiveness and there's no sign of it being odd or weird behavior, and it's in it, one doesn't have to fast. But if it shows any kind of irregular kind of behavior, then one should fast. I don't know what that would mean nowadays. We don't see so often.
You go to National Park in America where they have
the bears hang around. Yeah, they're probably all drugged up, I suppose. Yeah, they're probably drugged up there. I don't know. Are they? I don't know.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi?
Hello?
Would a Jewish person be allowed to keep a dangerous animal? You do hear of people, not with Jewish people, but...
Yeah, no, I know a Jew owns a lion. Actually, no, a Jew owns a lion. Yeah.
But what about a snake?
Yeah, snakes, I don't think snakes are dangerous. Yeah, some of them are.
Let's say they've got a dangerous one, like a python.
Oh yeah, python, yeah, alright.
Have you got a snake, Stephen? It's very risky having a snake. You've got to be very careful with these things. You haven't got a snake in your
house. I don't think that it's an issa to own. Trying to think. Yeah, you're right. The Mishnah does talk about dangerous animals. He talks about dogs, actually. Dangerous animals is, yeah, but I'm not sure they're called dangerous, if they are well kept and well looked after, if they're not roaming around, and they're just kept in a cage, and they're not sure. Yeah. But you're right. If it's a dangerous animal, which is, I don't think it's a great idea though. Yeah.
I think Jewish people. I have heard of stories of non-Jewish people keeping funny sort of animals, and they suddenly escape, and there's always this hunt for them in the area.
Yeah. So the reality is that for many, many years, Yidden used to keep cats. It was a very normal thing to keep cats, and there was a good reason why Yidden kept cats, because cats. Even I know of a great Dayan Posen Zichron Ibrocha. He owned cats. And I think many other Rabbonim own cats because they help against mice, apparently. So, but I suppose most cats are not that dangerous. I don't think they own tigers, which is part of the same family. Yeah, okay. So, bottom up, Siv Zayin. Siv Zayin is as follows. Bottom up, Nuim, Bamid Boris, Valtas, and Shomois. So, if you live in houses which are in desolate deserts, who we also know as empty areas, void areas, which are places which normally there are loose animals. Im also legag for not latinuk mariso. If chatz v'sholem there is a dangerous animal that climbs up the roof of this house, which is out in the woods, as we say, for not latinuk mariso, chatz v'sholem took a baby from the cot. It's telling us what a cot is. It's a small bed. That's already bad news. That's dangerous. But if it wouldn't go all that far to start from dragging a baby out of a cot, that's a bit what you're referring to, Stephen. They put themselves in danger by living in such desolate, faraway places out in the middle of the woods. So if animals literally drag out babies from the cots, that's dangerous and one fast. But if they don't go that far, the animals just roam around and they're nearby, so fine, you can't help it because they put themselves in the dangerous place. You know, that's the way of nature. How about other crawling animals, any other even flying animals which naturally cause damage, you've got snakes, scorpions, they bite, and they may even be poisonous to some extent, but they don't kill. And no, we don't need to mention bees and wasps and mosquitoes and flies. Anything similar than emisan alem v'loy masin, one will obviously not fast and not cry for. Never mind flies and mosquitoes, but even scorpions and snakes. So one will not fast for them. Finally, for this evening, which is the grain, if there's something, there's something spreading amongst the crop and your produce, there's something spreading there, which means that all your produce is affected by some sort of what's that called? Pestilence. That's it. Petua. It's just in one particular place, which is one oven's worth. One will fast immediately, even the distant place, like which is within the same kingdom, in other words, in the same country. So if in that particular country there's something spreading amongst the wheat, amongst the corn, amongst the whatever grows in that particular country, and it's spreading, one will chas v'shalom fast. I don't know if that would apply nowadays as well or not. Because nowadays one could argue that what? Import, as the Chaznish said earlier. Okay, these are the lochas for this evening. I wish you a very pleasant evening.